నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. So we are reading from Bhagavad Gita, 9th chapter, 13th and 14th verse. Mahatmanastu mam partha daivim prakritim ashrita bhajanti ananya manaso jnatva bhutadim avyayam. Translation and put by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: O son of Pritha, those who are not deluded, the great souls, are under the protection of the divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. Purport: In this verse, the description of the Mahatma is clearly given. The first sign of the Mahatma is that he is already situated in the divine nature. He is not under the control of the material nature. And how is this effected? That is explained in the 7th chapter. One who surrenders unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna, at once becomes freed from the control of material nature. That is the qualification. One can become free from the control of material nature as soon as he surrenders his soul to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the preliminary formula. Being marginal potency, as soon as the living entity is freed from the control of material nature, he is put under the guidance of the spiritual nature. The guidance of the spiritual nature is called Daivi Prakriti, divine nature. So when one is promoted in that way, by surrendering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one attains to the stage of a great soul, Mahatma. Mahatma does not divert his attention to anything outside Krishna because he knows perfectly well that Krishna is the original Supreme Person, the cause of all causes. There is no doubt about it. Such a Mahatma or great soul develops through association with other Mahatmas, pure devotees. Pure devotees are not even attracted by Krishna's other features, such as the four-armed Mahavishnu. They are simply attracted by the two-armed form of Krishna. They are not attracted to other features of Krishna, nor are they concerned with any form of a demigod or of a human being. They meditate only upon Krishna in Krishna consciousness. They are always engaged in the unswerving service of the Lord in Krishna consciousness. Text 14. Satatam kirtayanto mam yatantascha dridavrita namasyantascha mam bhaktya nitya yukta upasate. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, the great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. Purport: The Mahatma cannot be manufactured by rubber stamping an ordinary man. His symptoms are described here. A Mahatma is always engaged in chanting the glories of the Supreme Lord Krishna, the Personality of Godhead. He has no other business. He is always engaged in the glorification of the Lord. In other words, he is not an impersonalist. When the question of glorification is there, one has to glorify the Supreme Lord, praising His holy name, His eternal form, His transcendental qualities, and His uncommon pastimes. One has to glorify all these things. Therefore, a Mahatma is attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who is attached to the impersonal feature of the Supreme Lord, the Brahma Jyoti, is not described as Mahatma in the Bhagavad Gita. He is described in a different way in the next verse. The Mahatma is always engaged in different activities of devotional service as described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing and chanting about Vishnu, not a demigod or a human being. That is devotion. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu and Smaranam, remembering him. Such a Mahatma has firm determination to achieve at the ultimate end the association of the Supreme Lord in any of the five transcendental rasas. To achieve that success, He engages all activities, mental, bodily and vocal, everything in the service of the Supreme Lord, Shri Krishna. That is called full Krishna consciousness. Actually, this one part, I'm taking a break. This particular sentence is quite important. The Mahatma is always engaged in different activities of devotional service, as described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing and chanting about Vishnu, not of demigod or human being, that is devotion. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu and Smaranam, remembering him. This is more important. Such a Mahatma has firm determination to achieve at the ultimate end the association of the Supreme Lord in any of the five transcendental rasas. To achieve that success, he engages all activities, mental, bodily and vocal, everything in the service of the Supreme Lord, Shri Krishna. That is called full Krishna consciousness. In devotional service, there are certain activities which are called determined, such as fasting on certain days like the 11th day of the moon, Ekadashi, and on the appearance day of the Lord. All these rules and regulations are offered by the great acharyas for those who are actually interested in getting admission into the association of the Supreme Personality Godhead in the transcendental world. The Mahatmas, great souls, strictly observe all these rules and regulations, and therefore they are sure to achieve the desired result. As described in the second verse of this chapter, not only is this devotional service easy, but it can be performed in a happy mood. One does not need to undergo any severe penance and austerity. He can live this life in devotional service, guided by an expert spiritual master, and in any position, either as a householder or a sannyasi or as a brahmachari, in any position and anywhere in the world, he can perform this devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus become actually Mahatma, a great soul. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Before beginning, I have to thank Gokulananda Prabhu for giving me an opportunity for my purification. Because giving a class is, in real terms, not to show that I know better than the audience. In fact, when I see the audience, I feel that they know better. Giving a class is for my own purification, and I am internally indebted to Gokulananda Prabhu for giving me this opportunity. Whereas coming to this verse, before coming to this verse, it reminds me about one of the symptoms of a Mahatma. Today the shloka is about Mahatmas. And this goes back really 5,000 years ago. The banks of Ganga, where a king is about to face his death within 7 days. Who's that king? It's Parikshit. And he's waiting. Who is going to guide me in this line of devotional service? And of course, you know the rest of the story. Now, there is one very significant point here regarding the nature of the Mahatmas. I think everyone must have seen the Srimad Bhagavatam written by Srila Prabhupada. Here in this audience? Everyone? Okay. A question to the audience. You open the Srimad Bhagavatam. What do you see first? Any Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada's Srimad Bhagavatam. Anyone? Answer? Okay, I open the first canto. This is the cover page. This is a book. I open the first page. The first cover. What do you see? What's that? The picture of all the sages and Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit. Okay, we look at the prime speaker and the hearer. The prime speaker is Sukhdev Goswami, and the prime hearer, the main hearer, is. But have you seen the audience there? May I know who are the audience? Who are the audience? Anyone? Narad Muni. Who is Narad Muni? He is a Mahatma. But in relation to Sukhdev Goswami, who is he? Okay, Narad Muni is one. Another one? Most important. Maharishi Vyas. Who is Maharishi Vyas to Sukhdev Goswami? His own father. And who is the spiritual master of Maharishi Vyas? Narad Muni. So from this example, what can you conclude? What can you conclude? The age of Sukhdev Goswami was when he gave the Bhagavatam class. 16. Age of Narad Muni. Age of Maharishi Vyas. Okay, leave this aside. Imagine this occasion. To whom is Sukhdev Goswami speaking this immortal truth? Who is the recipient? Parikshit. Who is Parikshit? His material designation? He is the emperor of the planet Earth. Imagine today, the king of this world saying, I am about to die. 7 days. Can anyone show me the path of self-realization? There will be a big line. We'll show you. But here, he says, 7 days, anyone? And all these great sages, they refer to only one person. Sukhdev. Irrespective of his age, irrespective of his clothing, irrespective of his bodily designation, he is the purified one. He will guide you. And we will be as an audience just hearing from this one act of these great souls. What do you conclude? His father, his spiritual master sitting there, his grand spiritual master sitting there. Other than that, all the great rishis, all the great yogis just sitting, just to hear this 16-year-old boy speaking. In material consideration, he's just a 16-year-old boy. Father would have said, come on, I have taught you Srimad Bhagavatam. You have that audacity to sit on the Vyasas and give the Bhagavatam class? Or Narad Muni has said, I am the one who inspired your father to write the Srimad Bhagavatam. And you have the audacity to speak Srimad Bhagavatam, and that too to whom? To the emperor of the world. This prime opportunity should be given to me. No, everyone just sat there to hear. And this is what signifies this verse today. The quality of a Mahatma. Quality of non-enviousness. That's why the second shloka of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it starts with this. Dharma projahita kaitavotraha paramo Nirmat Saranam Satam. Bhagavatam is meant for such great personalities who are non-envious. Why they are non-envious? And Srila Prabhupada explains. This is in regard to the chapter Narada instructs Vyasa Muni in the sixth chapter, the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, where Narad Muni explains how he became self-realized. And then, Prabhupada concludes that one particular verse. He says, in nutshell, the life of a pure devotee is described. And he describes many qualities of a pure devotee, a Mahatma. And one of the qualities which he gives a lot of emphasis is, a Mahatma is not envious. And Prabhupada concludes, why is a Mahatma not envious? Can anyone give a try? He sees everything in relation to Krishna. Anyone else? That is true. Anyone else? Give a try. Why is a Mahatma not envious? I gave you this example. from this example, you could conclude that they, none of them were envious, and they have a good hearing to Sukhdev Goswami for the entire 7 days and seven nights. Because one of the quality, Nirmatsarana, they were not envious. How can this 17-year-old boy speak to the emperor of the world? No, they were Nirmatsarana. Now tell me, why they are Nirmatsarana? Dharma Projahita Kaita Votraha Paramo Nirmatsaranam Satam. And Prabhupada gives very beautifully. Why is a pure devotee not envious of anyone in this material world? He knows everything comes from Krishna. Good. Yours, yours, Prabhuji? What was yours? Same. Everything. Anyone else? Service to Krishna is more important. Anyone else? Everything is correct. And I'll just come to the conclusion what Srila Prabhupada gives. A pure devotee is not envious of anyone in this material world, irrespective of what his position is, because his goal is one. His goal is one. And that is to go back home, back to Godhead. It seems so simple, right? Back home, back to Godhead. Yes. Yes. And Prabhupada says, we have come to Krishna consciousness only for one purpose. What is that? The day when you came to Krishna consciousness, when you entered the temple, what would you learn from the devotees? You chant Hare Krishna, and at the end of life, you go back home, back to God. Right? We have heard this. But over a period of time, we forget the goal, we forget the purpose, and we get involved in many things. And that's the reason. Enviousness. Oh, our fellow God brother is doing better than me. I feel envious. He's doing better than me. I feel envy. But Srila Prabhupada says, the pure devotee is not envious because his goal is to stay in the material world. Because if you want to stay in the material world, a lot of competitions. But if you want to go back to God, there's no competition. Shishi Radha Gopinath Bhagavan Ki Jai. Shishi Gaur Nithai Ki Jai. Shri Giridhari Gopal Ki Jai. So, Hare Krishna. So, this is one of the qualities of a Mahatma. Okay, we'll come back to the verse. Mahatmanastu Maam Partha Daivim Prakritim Ashritaha. Okay. Here, there's one more riddle or a question, because I then generally keep the audience asking questions. Here Krishna says, O son of Pritha, those who are not deluded, the great souls, are under the protection of the divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. A question to the audience. A mother has two kids. One is an obedient one. Another one is disobedient. On whom will the mother have a lot of attention? And why? Obedient, okay. Anyone else? Disobedient, why? Obedient will do his work and the disobedient will always be disobedient. Okay, anyone else? I agree. The person who is disobedient. Because obedient will follow what the mother gives, what a mother instructs. But the disobedient, he'll go anywhere. He'll try to do anything. So mother will have, oh, where is he going? What is he doing? Is he going to harm himself? Similarly, Maya has two kids. One is a devotee, another is a non-devotee. On whom will she have more attention and why? On a devotee or on a non-devotee? Why? Anyone, any answer will do. Devotee or a non-devotee? Why? He is disobedient to the nature of Maya. Similarly, as the acharyas say, the path of devotional service is tough. Why? Same. She'll always put some stumbling blocks on your path. Oh, you're chanting? Let me see how many days you chant. Oh, you're going to the temple? Okay, let me see how many days you start going to the temple. Oh, you're trying to associate with the devotees? Let me see. So, aren't there any stumbling blocks on the path of devotional service? There are. Similarly, this verse says, there are, because this is in connection to 7.14, Mahatmanastu, it is connected to 7th chapter 14th verse, where Krishna himself says, Daivi Iesha Gunamai Mama Maya Duratyaya. Maya is under me, Krishna says. And those who are deluded, they're always deluded. And here Krishna says, the person who wants to get out of this delusion, wants to get out of these three modes of material nature, what does he do? If he wants to protect himself from Maya, we have come to devotional service, right? Maya is putting her stumbling blocks in front of us. Suppose if we want to progress further, rather than succumbing to this stumbling blocks, what should he do? He should surrender to Krishna. And what is the symptom of surrender that comes in the another verse? What is that? Satatam kirtayanto mam yatantascha dridavataha namasyantascha mam bhaktya nitya yukta upasate. Satatam kirtayanto. If you want to get out of these stumbling blocks which Maya throws at you, what should we do? What should one do? Satatam kirtayanto mam. Always. Generally, people must be asking, you know, Ganesh Chaturthi is for 11 days. Durga Puja is for 9 days. Krishna consciousness for how many days? Yeah. 24 into 7 into 365 for the rest of your lifetime. Why? Because Krishna himself says, Satatam kirtayanto mam. Always. Somebody says, why always? 2 ghanta, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, at the most, half an hour. Where Lord has said that you should, you know, 24 hours. Here he has said this. Satatam kirtayanto mam. Yatantascha dridavritaha. Namasyantascha mam bhaktya. Nitya yukta upasate. Satatam. Always. That's why Srila Prabhupada would always say, you should be 24 hours Krishna conscious. It is not that I chant my 16 rounds or whatever, how many rounds I chant. After chanting, I just see the next morning to be again Krishna conscious. Or I just hear the Bhagavatam class, and after the Bhagavatam class, I am not Krishna conscious. No. It is 24 hours Krishna conscious. Why one should be 24 hours Krishna conscious? We'll hear later. Now, let me come to this verse. Satatam kirtayanto mam. Means what? Kirtayanto. Kirtayanto mam. Kirtan. She keep on saying Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. You should serve God. Anyone else? What does it mean of Kirtan? Chanting the name, serving the Lord, glorifying the Lord. Anyone else? Nama Sankirtanam. Okay, anyone else? Chanting, glorifying, serving, Nama Sankirtanam. Remembering the Lord. Anyone else? Hearing the Lord. Anyone else? Reawakening. Everything is right. Everything comes under one category, that is pleasing the Lord. And in turn, one short thing is kirtan. Satatam kirta yantoma. Okay. Srila Prabhupada says in the, what is the symptom of a Mahatma? One of the symptoms of a Mahatma is, just listen carefully. Even if we just forget the whole lecture, no problem. Just listen this carefully, no problem. He says, a pure devotee of the Lord will see that not even one single second is wasted other than remembering the Lord or serving the Lord or chanting about the Lord or working for the Lord or serving for the Lord. Not even a single second is wasted. Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, would say, the day when you come to know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Suppose any the day there was a time in our life when we came to know that Krishna is the supreme person and we started coming to the temple. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, the day when you come to know that Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, what should you do? Not even a single moment should be wasted other than remembering him. Not even a single moment should be wasted other than remembering him. Only then we can come out of Maya's glances or Maya's power. Okay. As now Gokulananda Prabhu has arranged for this nice sessions on Bhagavad Gita, there is a purpose behind this. And why we read the Bhagavad Gita and why we discuss about the Supreme Lord, there's a purpose. And Srila Prabhupada writes very beautifully here, and I require one devotee to volunteer me for this. Anyone among the crowd? I want that devotee to read this one line from the Bhagavad Gita. Anyone? Okay. This is from
the forgetful living entities or conditioned souls have forgotten their relationship with the Supreme Lord and they are engrossed in thinking of material activities. Just to transfer their thinking power to the spiritual sky, Krishna Dvaipayana Vyasa has given a great number of Vedic literatures. First, he divided the Vedas into four. Then he explained them in the Puranas, and for less capable people, he wrote the Mahabharata. In the Mahabharata, there is given the Bhagavad Gita. Then all Vedic literature is summarized in the Vedanta Sutra, and for future guidance, he gave a natural commentation on the Vedanta Sutra called Srimad Bhagavatam. We must always engage our minds in reading these Vedic literatures, just as materialists engage their minds in reading newspapers, magazines, and so many materialistic literatures. We must transfer. We must always engage our minds in reading these Vedic literatures, just as materialists engage their minds in reading newspapers, magazines, and so many materialistic literatures. We must transfer our reading to these literatures, which are given to us by Vyasadeva. In that way, it will be possible for us to remember the Supreme Lord at the time of death. That is... In that way, it will be possible for us to remember the Supreme Lord at the time of death.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji. Actually, the reason for holding these classes, especially reading Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam, is the same as Prabhuji just read out. We'll be able to remember the Lord at the time of death. That is more important. And that is the reason why these Mahatmas are so concerned for other living entities, that just giving these literatures, giving so much of facility for the conditioned souls to go further progress in Krishna consciousness. In this regard, it reminds me of one great Acharya in the Brahma Sampradaya, the founder, Sripad Madhvacharya. He came around 750 years ago. And when he arrived in this scene, there was a lot of demigod worship going on all over South India. And since he was very influential, he was very powerful, wherever the demigod worship would go, Madhvacharya would take a Shaligram Shilas. You know, Shaligram Shila is none different from the Supreme Lord. And would establish in that temple. And he would tell the pujari, whenever you worship the demigod, be it any demigod, be it Ganapati or Durga, any, first you offer all the items to Shaligram and then you offer it to your respective demigods. Why would he do this? And then any prasadam, first you offer it to Shaligram, then you offer it to your demigods, and then you give it to the people. Why would Madhvacharya give this? Can anyone tell me? First to Shaligram, and then to the demigods, and then to this? Yes, exactly. Because rather than just being ignorant about the fact who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the people would take whose prasad? Shaligram prasad, and indirectly taking Lord's prasad. In this way, he would preach all over. But then as Kali Yuga progressed, people were not that much interested in Krishna consciousness also. So before leaving for Badrikashram to meet his spiritual master Vyasadeva, he just gave the people of Karnataka, because he couldn't travel much, he said, do two things. I expect from you only two things. He said, what is the two things? Every house should have a tulsi. Everyone should plant a tulsi. Even today, when you go to any house near around 200, 300 kilometers of Udupi, no matter what his caste is, be it a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, anyone, every house has a tulsi. And he said that every householder should water the tulsi morning, every morning. And for any occasion, be it even demigod worship, any occasion, you should chant the name of Govinda. And people, even to date, they are following these two instructions. Why? Because over a period of time, by chanting the name of Govinda, by watering the tulsi, a time will come in their life when they'll take to pure devotional service. And that is the greatness of such Mahatmas. Always wants to give something to the devotees, always wants to give something to the common people so that they can come attracted to Krishna and even they'll become a Mahatma. This is the greatness of these Mahatmas, especially Srila Prabhupada and all of our ancestral disciplic succession. They don't want themselves to be pure devotees and go back to God. It is like any business enterprise, for that matter. For anyone who is doing a business, he has some trade secrets. You know that? Any business, trade secret, which can't be leaked to anyone. These are some trade secrets which no one, they don't leak it to anyone. But in devotional service, in the path of devotion, there are no trade secrets. It is open for all. You do this, as Prabhupada, at the end moment, he's saying, you know, in this purport. Ninth chapter. Yeah, he says this in the end moment. Yeah. In any position, anywhere in the world, he can perform this devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus become actually a Mahatma or a great soul. Srila Prabhupada is keeping the doors open. Everyone can become a Mahatma. Just follow the four regulatory principles. Just chant Hare Krishna, worship Krishna, you will become a Mahatma. There are no trade secrets, like many of his disciples would say, that Prabhupada would get up in the morning, he would do the Mangalati, he would chant Hare Krishna, he would chant 16 rounds, he would read Srimad Bhagavatam, he would speak about Krishna, and there was nothing like inside the doors. This one practice, I will not reveal to anyone in the world. I'll practice. Because if I practice this, and if I reveal it to others, what if they also become Mahatmas, and my name and fame and popularity will come down? No. As I referred previously, 5,000 years ago, the nature of the Mahatmas is non-enviousness. They want to distribute it to everyone. Like Srila Prabhupada himself, it so happened in Japan. He had sent one disciple to Japan. Go and preach in Japan. And every day, this devotee would take his mridanga, and he had one more god brother, and they would go through the streets of Japan, just chanting Hare Krishna, trying to preach in Japan. 1 month passed, 2 months, 6 months, nearly a year. And the two remained two. People were not that much attracted to the preaching movement. And he became frustrated. And whenever they would go on the roads, two people would come to talk to them in Japan. two people would come to talk to these devotees who were doing kirtan, only two of them. One type were the people who lost their way out in the city, and they would ask, where is the address, please? Will you please show us the way? And the second was some Japanese who wanted to improve his English by speaking to these European devotees. Only these two. No one else were interested. So 1 year passed, and one day finally this devotee got so frustrated, he just closed down the temple, locked the temple. He took one ticket and he came directly to India, and he knew the Prabhupada was in Vrindavan. And he came to Vrindavan, and it was a morning Bhagavatam class, and Srila Prabhupada was delivering it. He came and sat in the class, and Prabhupada was giving the class. And suddenly he saw him. See, after the class, he said, you just meet me in the room. So he came inside the room and said, why are you here? Who is there in Japan? Prabhupada, I closed the temple. I closed the temple in Japan. Why? Because Prabhupada, it's no use. 1 year we strived and struggled, but people are not interested. No, go back. No, Prabhupada, there's no one interested there. No one interested. What did Prabhupada say? Okay, don't worry, you come sit here, no problem. He said, leave immediately. The next flight back to Japan. He said, but Prabhupada, no one is listening to me. No problem. Sit in one room and just chant Hare Krishna. That vibration of your chanting of Hare Krishna will surely affect the consciousness of the locals. Go back immediately. And sure enough, he just left. And of course, we have a temple in Japan at the present moment. But both these devotees, years later, he was saying, why Srila Prabhupada was saying this? He was giving an example. He was giving an example of the person who invented the nuclear bomb, Mr. Nobel. Or the person who invented this atom bomb, you know, Mr. Otto Hahn. You're seeing, when they were doing research on inventing this powerful bomb, was it done in a big laboratory? No. It was done in a small room. And they were working day in and day out. And today, at this present moment, when you hear the word nuclear bomb, it just sends tremors all throughout the world. Nuclear bomb or atom bomb, it sends tremors throughout the world. So imagine in that small cubicle, these scientists would perform these experiments which can rock this world. And that also something material. So this devotee is saying, so imagine our experience and experiments with the Mahamantra. What can it do in the future? You just sit in one place and chant Hare Krishna. That vibration will surely affect the consciousness of the people. And this is a Mahatma. Wants others to be a Mahatma. And for that example, in that respect, even his own spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, such a powerful preacher, such a powerful speaker. I'm talking about 1920s in Gaudiya Math. Those who have gone to Mayapur, there is Vrajapatana, that is Chandrasekhar Bhavan. And in those days, there were no electricity. And he would just sit on the top of a roof. And anyone going past the road at the night, he would say, who's that? He would just ask the question in the air, who's that? And the person below, he would hear that. He would say, Gurudev, it's me. It's me. It's me means what? Body or the spirit soul? And then you start preaching in the dead of the night to that person down below. It is like Satatam Kirtayantumam. Just want an opportunity to speak about the Lord, glorify the Lord, and engage everyone in the service of the Lord. That is a Mahatma. So sometimes we have some people have a different aspect of Mahatma. Mahatma means you should be very, you know, you should not get angry, or you should be very cool down, you should be sober, you know, shanti, shanti, that is a Mahatma. No, Srila Prabhupada is not that type of Mahatma. For Krishna, he will surely fight. There's an incident in Juhu. Srila Prabhupada had a very nice associate who would come in his morning walk every day. That was Mr. Dr. Patel. and every day they would go for a morning walk. And one day Prabhupada, in his conversation, as many of you will be knowing, he would not tolerate any bogus people. He would just say, they are rascals. And suddenly one day this Patil got very furious. He said, Swamiji, you can't say this. You are doing your devotion. They are doing their devotion. You don't have any right to say anyone a rascal. You chant Hare Krishna, be peaceful. They do their own yoga meditations and all that stuff and let them be peaceful. Why you need to call them a rascal? And Prabhupada gave a beautiful analogy. See, this is a symptom of a Mahatma. He said, Dr. Patel, you are a doctor. And suppose you are in the operation theater. You are about to perform a surgery on a patient. And you have your knife and scalpel, everything ready to start your surgery. At that particular moment of time, a thief or a rogue enters from nowhere inside the OT. He takes one knife and is about to operate on your patient. Will you allow him to do that? What will you say? Dr. Patel, what will you say? Will you not say, you rascal, get out from this operation theater? Who has given you the permission to enter? And Prabhupada says, I know the disease of the people of Kali Yuga. And I know the medication. If anyone comes in my place to say what is the right medication, what will I say to him? You rascal, why are you coming here? Krishna says, Sarva dharmam parityagya mamekam shrana. Why are you saying something else than what Krishna says? Rascal, get out from here. That is a Mahatma. They are Mahatmas. Okay, just coming to the conclusion of this particular session, Prabhupada says here that we should follow austerities and follow the regulated principles in order to, at the last moment, the last minute, to go back home, back to Godhead. Okay, before concluding, I'll conclude with one interactive session and that's it. Srila Prabhupada was coming from, this is a question asked to Srila Prabhupada. He was coming from, I think, Mexico. Yes, somewhere. I just forgot the place. He's come from that particular position to Los Angeles. And on the plane, the pilot, he invited Prabhupada inside the cockpit. He invited Srila Prabhupada inside the cockpit. And over the period of conversation, the conversation went on and on. And he asked one question. Now I am asking you that same question in a different manner. Okay, I am asking you, the audience, one question. Who is the origin of everything? Origin of all. He has no other origin. Krishna is the origin of everything. Okay? Agreed? Who is the most pure? Purest of the pure. Krishna is the purest of the pure. Okay. Who is the cause of all causes? Shiva? I heard Shiva. Krishna. Okay. Krishna. Okay. He is the pure. He is the origin of all. He is the cause of all causes. Okay. Who is the cause of all the bad things in this world? Bad things? I heard just a few minutes I asked, who is the cause of all causes? You all answered me, it's Krishna. Okay. Who is the purest of the pure is Krishna. He is the origin of all is Krishna. I'm asking, who is the cause of all the bad qualities, bad things in this world? Just, I think just a few minutes you said that the origin of everything is... okay, but there should be some cause. Lord Krishna. Okay, if Lord Krishna is the cause of all things, Lord Krishna is the cause of even the bad things. And few minutes before you said even Lord Krishna is everything. So how can you consider that something is bad coming from Krishna? Everything is pure, right? You said pure, right? So, okay, why you follow the four regulative principles then? Know this, know that, know this, know that, know this, know that. Why? Since everything is coming from Krishna, everything that is coming from Krishna is pure, why you discriminate between good and bad? This was the question asked to Srila Prabhupada by this pilot. He asked this question. If everything is coming from God, even bad things are coming from God. So why you discriminate? Since it is coming from God, why you discriminate? This is good, this is bad, this is good. Might as well accept it. Because it is coming from God, everything is pure, no problem. Why you discriminate? No meat eating, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no onion, no garlic, no tea, no coffee, no this, no that. Everything is coming from Krishna. Why? And the minute Prabhupada landed in, and Prabhupada gave this answer, and the minute Prabhupada landed in Los Angeles, or Los Angeles, somewhere, the devotees gave a royal welcome. And he asked this question to the devotees. I hope you understood the question, right? Everything is emanating in Krishna. Even bad things are emanating in Krishna. Then why are you making a discrimination? This is good and this is bad. Since it's emanating from Krishna, everything has to be pure. Why this discrimination? Prabhupada asked. And he praised this question of that pilot for nearly 5 minutes. Nearly 5 minutes. Imagine. What a question. What a question. Everything is emanating from God. Even bad things are emanating from God. Then why you make a discrimination, good and bad? He asked the devotees. And then he gave a beautiful answer, which I've never heard. I just recently heard this. He said, yes, the cause of bad things is also Krishna. Then he gave a beautiful example. What is the cause of day? Daytime. Loudly. Sun. What is the cause of night? Yeah. It's not the moon. It is the absence of sun. Ultimately, the cause is the sun. Similarly, come here. What is the cause of all good things in this world? It's the presence of Krishna. And the cause of bad things? It is the absence of Krishna. So you have seen that logo in the Bhagavad Gita, in Back to Godhead? Godhead is light. Nisayans is darkness. Where there is Godhead, there is no nisayans. So Prabhupada concluded, we accept those things in the presence of Krishna. And we reject those in the absence of Krishna. That is Krishna consciousness. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions in this regard? Any questions?
Prabhuji, Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the greatest esoteric gospel on earth, there is a varnan of Raja Parikshit. Kali Maharaj meeting Raja Parikshit, and he is imploring to Raja Parikshit 4 places to live. Then he allows, Raja Parikshit allows 4 places to hide. One is the abattoir, second is intoxicating dens, brothel, and Gambling. He declines, Kali Maharaj. But Raja Parikshit advises him to hide in gold, sona. As a sadhak, could you please highlight or throw light? Why is gold, is it banned or is it taboo, buying and selling of gold? Gold.
Okay. Actually, the one place which Parikshit asks is that since there is nothing existing in your kingdom, so imagine the monarchy 5,000 years ago, there was no slaughterhouse. Nothing of those four kinds of stuff, four no's, no meeting, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, nothing. Of course, there was conspicuous by their absence. And when he says you take shelter in these four places, Kali says that I hardly find any place here in this earth under your rule, under your monarchy. I can't find any place. Can you find some good place? He says, wherever there is over-accumulation of wealth, in that time there were barter system was through gold, the same thing. Yeah, over-accumulation of wealth for your personal need and for personal greed, that is where Kali Yuga comes. Kali comes, the influence of Kali. And for that matter, I don't know how to name anyone. Your live example is in front of everyone in today's world, especially in India. No namings. Two brothers fighting. I think everyone came to know. No names required. There's less of wealth there on either side. They're stinkingly rich. But why this happening? Effect of Kali. Now, does that mean that you should just throw all your wealth in the ocean nearby and just come and stand here and just say, I'm poverty stricken and Kali will not affect me? No. That's what Sri Rupa Goswami says, Yukta Vairagya, using it for the service of the Supreme Lord. Then it is purified. Even wealth, even gold, using it for the service of the Supreme Lord. Then, like for example, this affluent temple with air condition, nice chandeliers, Italian marble, gold plated. For whom? For us? For the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. So that we can come here and discuss, hear, talk, chant, serve. Whom? Ourselves? The Supreme Lord. Then this is the right direction where the wealth is utilized for the pleasure of the... Then Kali never affects us. If it is used for our sense gratification, the more the problem comes in your life. Like now the example which I gave you. That's it. Anyone else? I think you're satisfied, sir. Yeah. Anyone else? Any question? We'll have Kirtan. Go on. Bhakta Gauranga will lead the Kirtan.